And good evening. You're listening to Now We're Talking, Episode 5. This is your host, Jeff Bryant. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. In the studio, Keith Kennedy. Keith, you just got back from Seattle.
I did.
And I know that you went to the zoo.
I went to the zoo.
Tell us about going to the zoo. Have you been to the zoo there before?
I have not.
Okay, so how did this happen and how did it play out?
Well, I'm a bit of a zoo connoisseur.
Okay,
yeah.
Because you've gone once now?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Now, well, my honeymoon was at the zoo.
Oh, really?
My wife is a huge zoo fan. I think she likes the animals.
And is this the first time you've gone to the zoo since the honeymoon?
That's a good question. As a connoisseur, I should know that.
You should know that.
What does connoisseur mean again?
I think it means you've gone to the zoo at least twice.
Yeah, then
you're in.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second. The first zoo was where?
Well, I've gone to the Vancouver Zoo.
Oh, the one here in Vancouver. Okay,
so
you took it up a notch. Now you have international credibility.
Yeah. Well, on my honeymoon, I went to San Diego because that's like a big world zoo.
That's what I was wondering. So you've been to that one too?
Yeah.
So that's three zoos?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were thinking Vancouver might not count as a whole zoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just worried about the connoisseur thing, but I'm good, right?
Sure. Yeah, two is official. If you've gone to the Vancouver Zoo, I think that makes it at least 2.5, if not 3. By the way, if you are just tuning in, folks, this week we're going to have an interview with Craig Way. That's coming up later in the show. You're listening now. We're talking. We're talking to Keith right now. As always, Keith is here in the studio. And Keith went to the zoo in Seattle. Tell us a bit about it. Tell us what happened on this trip.
Okay, just before we get into that, I realize I've gone to the Vancouver Zoo twice.
Okay.
So that's two halves.
Three,
make a whole.
Three distinct zoos, one of which you've been to twice.
Yeah.
Now we can call Vancouver Zoo, that counts as
that's
one.
That's official.
If you've been twice, it counts as
so
one.
So no zoo. Emails about me not being a connoisseur,
okay.
Everyone.
So it's been you got married a few years ago.
Yeah.
And you went on your honeymoon to the zoo. Now you've gone back to the zoo.
Yeah, so she's wanted to go to the Seattle Zoo for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a big fan of animals.
She loves animals.
And you know how everyone loves animals?
Yeah.
Like, we all don't want them to be hurt?
Yeah.
She likes them more than people.
Even more than that,
like, more than people.
Yeah, or she prefers them.
She prefers the company of animals.
Yeah. It's like going home, going to the zoo.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah, it's very much like going back into the jungle where she was raised by orangutans.
Which is a whole other story, which sounds like we're being glib, but that is actually...
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the reasons you're attracted to your wife in the first place.
Yeah, she's very... Very influenced by her orangutan parents.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How could you not be?
It's a given. It's a given.
What the word?
That could go a whole bunch of different places, but we need to focus on the Seattle Zoo.
I just said what the, where the on the radio.
What the, where the? Okay, so let's talk about it. So you went down to Seattle, and you went in an RV, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That's the part that's kind of interesting is my mom is like an RVer.
Yeah, I'd never heard this before.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier today.
And I didn't know it was a thing either. I knew she owned one. But I didn't know that it was a culture.
I can believe it's a culture. To me, the idea of owning is ambitious because I'd love to have access to an RV. But to own one,
yeah.
I mean, where do you keep it?
Well,
and you got to clean it.
Yeah, that was what was great about this was...
Going to know how to use it properly and how to plug it in properly.
Yeah. Well, that's what's great. She going anywhere with my mom, or anyone's mom, I guess, is they do stuff for you. So I got to have this wonderful experience and get a piece of the culture. And it was just... Her, you know, I didn't have to deal with the sewer pipe that you plug into.
She did that, eh?
Yeah, her and her husband.
Right. Together.
Yeah.
Working together.
And it was beautiful.
Right.
We've never seen so much beauty over top of a sewage system.
So you piled into the RV for a trip to the Seattle Zoo. So what were the animals that you guys saw?
Yeah, so we parked in the bear lot. That's relevant.
That's where you parked?
Yeah, it's called the bear lot. Each of the lots is named
after
an animal.
So you remember where your RV is afterwards.
Yeah, it wasn't the itchy lot.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the bear lot.
Right.
And a lot of animals. It's a really good zoo. It's the map was like really big, and it was funny because my experiences at the San Diego Zoo is that it takes you like a day to get from one place to another. But this zoo is kind of small by comparison. Now, where that is in the grand scheme of zoos, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But as a connoisseur,
you should know.
I should.
Yeah. As a connoisseur,
I'm really dropping the ball on this.
The conversation began with you asserting that you're a connoisseur, and I feel like you really
I don't recall that.
Painted yourself into a corner.
It doesn't ring a bell. I don't know that word.
I think I wrote it down. I remember writing it down because I struggled to know how to spell it.
Jeff is a liar. So I just remember thinking, like, I was doing the map. I'm really bad with directions normally.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, when I get in these situations where I can have a map and I can look at the map and then lower the map and look at the street in front of me, I become very dominant in terms of being the map holder.
Okay.
So I was plotting the course the whole
even
day.
Even holding maps is kind of fallen by the wayside. A lot of people just hold their phones now.
Yeah.
So you're holding a physical
actual
map.
Physical map wrapped up. I tuck it in my pocket. It got wrinkled throughout the day.
Wow. Worn down.
Yeah, so what was cool was that I was able to plot our course through this zoo, and it was we could do it all in one day is what I'm trying to get to. It wasn't so big
and
that
you visit,
we couldn't do
it's
it
like
all in
all
one day.
All but one animal at a time or one group species?
Yeah, so they have it split into, at that particular zoo, they have it split into climates.
Oh, okay,
so there's
that
like
makes
the
sense.
Rainforest and like the temperate forest and so on and so forth. Other boring names unless you're there looking at the animals. So yeah, you plotted a course and saw everything. And there were some highlights, like we got to feed giraffes.
You got to feed giraffes?
Yeah, so there's just a little spot where the giraffe comes in and you're up high. So the giraffe is like face to face with you.
Hmm.
And got to feed him some twigs, some leaves.
Did you climb a ladder or something?
No. It was just really well constructed, Jeff.
Wow.
It's a very well constructed zoo. Yeah. It really was a good zoo. As funny as that is, that I didn't be climbing a ladder to talk to a giraffe. And I did try to talk to him quite a bit. They don't talk.
They don't talk.
Long tongues, but they don't talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was a well put together thing, man. It was like really easy to get around. They had a large variety of animals.
Hmm.
A couple things I hadn't seen before, like the maned wolf.
The maned wolf.
Yeah, a wolf from Brazil. It looks like a big, tall fox.
Wow.
That was really incredible. They had a red panda, which is my wife's favorite.
It's actually red.
Yeah, and it's not a panda, really. It's sort of closer linked to like skunks and raccoons. I think it's like maybe a mustelid offshoot. Mustelids are like weasels, ocelots, things like that.
How is Nancy reacting to all these animals?
Well, that's funny that you'd ask that because the red panda is so much her favorite that when we got there, she cried. At first, it wasn't out. Like, we couldn't find it. And in this zoo, for whatever reason, that you could almost always see the animal. In some zoos, they're hiding in the back or they have like a little house off to the side.
Yeah,
and
if you're patient, they might come out.
Yeah, but they don't necessarily. So this rarely happened at the Seattle Zoo. It was very, like, showmanship was at a premium with these animals. Like, there were monkeys that, like, ran to us when we came to the window. But this one in particular didn't come out at first, and she was getting upset because it wasn't. And then when it finally appeared in all its panda glory, and the red panda looks like a picture of a raccoon with a bit of a snub nose, and he's very brightly orange-colored, red-colored.
Hmm.
Gorgeous animals. She cried when it came out because she was so happy to see it.
From tears of disappointment
to tears
of relief and
so
joy.
So she turned it around, and then it went away again, and she was like, no, we're staying. I'm going to see it again. So three times we let it go away and come back because she loves it so much.
That's nice.
And we went there for her.
That's nice.
Yeah, and then on the other side of that, they had a poodoo there.
Poodoo?
Yeah, P-U-D-U, which is a small deer-like animal.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen one, and that bugger wouldn't come out of his place. I don't want to call it his little house.
It's been a long time since I've gone to the zoo, but now the memories are coming back. I remember going to the Calgary Zoo, and it was really about will they come out to play or not.
Yeah, that's a will.
In a way, you're like, come on, what do we have you here for?
Yeah.
And you think, well, probably if this is how I lived.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing
about it. And there are a bunch of people ogling me, I'd probably be like,
like, we should be understanding, but instead we're like banging on the glass. It turns us into animals, not understanding why they won't entertain us.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't want to get too graphic on the radio here, but one of the highlights was there was a gorilla, and gorillas tend to do strange things with their poop.
Mm.
So we got to see a gorilla, the technique a gorilla uses.
When throwing the poop.
Well, he didn't actually throw it, which is the part maybe we can't discuss what he did, but I got to see the technique of how he catches it.
Wow.
So he kind of has like a way, you know, I think Nancy asked me at one point, Nancy's my wife, did I already say her name?
I don't know if you did, but somebody could have just tuned in,
and
then they wouldn't know
Nancy's
that.
Nancy's my wife.
Yeah.
There you go. I got another person.
This section is brought to you by Nancy, who is Keith's wife.
Yeah, so they just have a technique, and Nancy asked me, do you think they always use the same hand, which I thought was poignant, and I said, yes, I think they do. I think it's a practice technique.
One for a poop, one for food.
Oh, maybe, yeah. But that's funny.
That's
that
what I would do.
Funny that you say that.
If I didn't have access to, like, wipes.
The thing that the gorilla does is, because of their diet and how they exist, there's nothing strange that they would. Their poop and their food can sometimes be the same thing, is what we'll say about what happened. And it was a wonderful moment because of all these people there to appreciate nature and the majesty of these incredible creatures. When that gorilla ate his poop, everybody cheered.
Because in a way, isn't that the majesty of nature?
It was. It felt like we should all just high-five and go
home. I mean, you don't see enough inspirational posters with that as the content, but isn't that the true majesty of nature?
What do you put them in a box for if you don't get to see them in their most intimate moments?
So you guys had a good time at the zoo.
Yeah, it was great.
Now, one thing that I think you mentioned happened at the zoo, and I wanted to ask you about, because of course, I say of course, it seems so pervasive in the media this week, this whole thing with Pokemon Go. Now, here's what I know, and then I want you to pick it up from what I know. I know there was some thing in the 90s or thereabouts called Pokemon. No idea whether it was a board game or things you collect. No idea. Now, there's been an app released just, I think, today in Canada, but in the past week in the U.S. and maybe some other places in the world. It was released, and it's like an app that you use out in the world, and I guess it's sort of There's like a layer of reality, which is you use your phone to see the world around you, mm-hmm. and then the game puts these Pokemon characters and you go around chasing them. So if that didn't make sense, that's fine, because it doesn't quite make sense to me. So Keith, can you explain a little bit, what is Pokemon, what is this Pokemon Go thing, and what was the experience you had going to seeing them at the zoo, seeing somebody do this at the zoo?
Yeah, so I don't know a lot about the Pokemon thing originally. I don't want to date myself, but it was more my brother's thing. I have a younger brother. He was kind of into it. But what happened was it came back as a card game. So it was a cartoon originally, and I think there were a lot of toys, and I think it's Japanese originally. So it's probably one of those things where they just like made a cartoon to sell the toys.
Okay.
Not to offend anybody who loves their Pokemon, but
that's
did
how
happen.
It started.
That did happen a lot.
Okay.
Whether that did here, I don't know. But what happened was it became a card game. And that was popular
for a while. So people collected the cards to play the game.
Yeah.
And if you had the better cards, you would do better.
Yeah.
So you're,
and they battle. Like in the Pokemon cartoons, they fight.
And so this was popular in the 90s. Did it diminish in popularity? And this is resuscitating?
Yeah, I mean, I thought of it as a kind of thing like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something, where it's just like was big for a while, and then it goes away, and then it came back in a slightly different form.
Okay.
So, the recent thing, I know as much about you do as much as you do about the game, which is, I think is some sort of genius idea where you look through your phone
through your phone,
what you're seeing, which people are always doing anyway.
And somehow the game sets up where, I don't know whether the characters are placed there by other users or whether the game itself says there will be a thing.
Yeah, but basically they're looking at their phone and they're seeing it in a real place, kind of, and then they're throwing Pokeballs at it.
So you'd heard something about this, and then you're at the Seattle Zoo, and so you see somebody doing something weird with their phone, and you know what's going on.
Yeah, well, what happened was we came around a corner, and there was a exhibit where we couldn't see the animal, as we were discussing before. And so what you do in that situation often is you look around to see if anybody else can see it. Because there's often
trees and height.
Yeah, and so you get cues from
people.
Then
you follow their line of sight.
Right, so I see a guy who's got his phone up, like he's taking a picture.
Okay.
So I come around like a twerp, assuming that
he sees the animal.
It was a monkey of some sort. And I looked over his shoulder, and I realized that he was just playing Pokemon Go.
So you saw the game and you saw the little characters.
Yes.
And
I came on there and I was looking to see in his, just to see which direction he was looking in. And there it was. Like, I think it was even Pikachu. I don't know if he's always the guy.
So you saw on his phone that he was looking through the phone at whatever he saw in the real world.
Yeah.
And superimposed on top of it was a virtual character.
Yeah. And he paid $20 to come to the zoo to play Pokemon at the zoo.
But actually, it's probably, if you're waiting for the animal to make an appearance.
Well, I guess
and there's nothing
that.
Doing.
I mean,
good way to kill time.
To assume he was just there playing it all day, I suppose, is silly. But what is the reason I have a little animosity towards the guy was because I thought I was about to see the animal.
He teased you.
He teased me, and instead I was just watching him playing a game.
You've been conditioned. If I'm at the zoo, I don't see an animal in the pit.
Yeah.
And I look around, and people are holding up phones. They better be taking a picture or shooting a video.
Yeah, or I'm going to talk about them on my radio show.
Yeah, and they're going to. It turns out that they're playing Pokemon. It's interesting. I've heard all sorts of reports this week of how people are going into the world and interacting with other people as they play this game.
Yeah, that's a cool possibility.
In a way that they never have otherwise.
Yeah, that's what we need to start hearing some more of those positives, because all I've heard is, like, we were talking about last week about the selfie stick.
Yeah,
things.
We talked about technology last week, and this actually kind of ties
in with
some of
that. And I heard a few things about people playing Pokemon and, like, walking into bad situations, walking into traffic and walking off of ledges and things. So if it is creating a person-to-person, face-to-face thing, that's really positive, and I think that should be talked about more.
I think I've heard a couple. I assume that some of those stories of people walking to traffic are just sort of sensationalized depictions
of
things that happen. But it sounds like, for the most part, it's bringing a lot of people together that otherwise would be playing their games at home.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm curious to see how...
I hope that is
so
pervasive.
You think that playing video games, if you're a parent thinking about kids, you think it's an obstacle to participating in the world. It would be ironic if it began to be the case, starting with this game, that this is a beginning of something new where people are addicted to their screens, but at least it's getting them out of the house to see the world, albeit through their screens.
Yeah, that'll crack that whole negativity. The whole philosophy will be torn apart.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Playing a video game makes you more social.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see whether this is just some sort of temporary fad or whether we look back or remember that week when it all began with you at the zoo. Well, let's continue with the interview this week. Again, if you're just tuning in, my name is Jeff Bryant. This is Now We're Talking. With me, as always, is Keith Kennedy, broadcasting from CITR 101.9 FM. This week I had the chance to speak with Craig Way. Craig is a friend of mine. He's an actor, theater actor, and a musician. Craig and I used to play in a band together, and we've done a few theatrical productions together as well. He lives in Stratford, Ontario, and he's done productions, theatrical productions, and he's performed as a musician all across the country in BC, Alberta, all around Ontario. He's from the Maritimes, from Miramichi specifically, and we talked about his experience working in theater, and we also talked about something we've talked about on the show otherwise. We talked about the challenges as far as creating original work and trying to figure out how to combine your efforts as a practitioner of the arts with maybe efforts to create your own work. Here it is this week, my conversation with Craig Way.
I remember hearing a lot of contracts referred to, years and years ago as lateral moves.
Yeah.
And, do you really want to do this because it's a lateral move?
Right.
And, I find in my 30s now, I don't really care about the lateral move. It's like at least I'm moving somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And I think I'm a very practical person most of the time. And I realize that I work in an industry that's constantly in flux and very unpredictable. And so when something does come up, it's always nice to be thought of. And if something comes up, it's like, oh, great. Yeah. Where's the gig? Sounds great. What is it? That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that fits here into my schedule. I'll take it. That's good.
Fits in my schedule. Yeah. And the people that are, I think the difference in my life now is a lot of the contacts I've made or the work that I'm getting is coming from contacts that were established long ago.
Right.
So there isn't a whole lot of uncertainty as to what I'm getting into or things like that.
Right.
You kind of know what's going on. So there's never there's never uncertainty going into a contract about, oh, this new place and these new people. And, there's always new people everywhere you go, but you kind of at this, 10 years in or however now, 11 years in, you start to know that, you know people everywhere.
And there's comfort in that because you can anticipate, oh, actually, I know that'll likely be a good experience because it'll be those people and I know what to expect. I know what the rehearsal process is going to be like or what it's going to be like living with that person.
And to be honest, like really bad experiences are very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience anyway, like again, other people could have a very different perspective, but like having a really terrible time on a show is I think it's a bit of a rarity because, for me personally, my viewpoint is, we're doing make-believe for a living and, and somebody, so we're running around a stage, and obviously respect to the craft and, mm-hmm. and all of that aside, that's also, I take that very seriously too, but, in a sense you're on stage performing, whether it's in a show where you just happen to be entertaining the audience or you've taken on a character and a different persona. In general, you're playing and someone's paying you to do that. And that's pretty, that's a pretty sweet existence, I think.
We've talked about the distinction between pursuing film and TV versus theater and how it's hard to do both of those things simultaneously. That makes me think also of another consideration that has come up for a lot of my peers in the industry, and the choice to create original work and focus on that as an ambition versus to be a practitioner of the arts, for example, to do theater or film and TV, where somebody else has created the script, you're interpreting the script. And for you, where are you at these days on your perspective with that? Are those things mutually exclusive for a start? Is it possible to pursue both? What's your take on that, having been around the industry for over a decade?
I don't think it's impossible to pursue both. I think, but if there's a sort of trick to it, I haven't really figured out what it is yet or even come close to mastering it. I just know that, one provides you food and shelter and the other one doesn't immediately. So it's something you just kind of have to keep picking away at it and slowly building it to some sort of finished product and eventually launch. But, I think it helps you just completely immerse yourself, right? It's, like if you treat it like a job, then you, you know, then you kind of set yourself hours and you set your hours, you set your time, you know what you need to put in, and you know that you're going to have fruitful days and not so fruitful days.
I think the underlying goal for a lot of people that set out to create artistic work is for it to take them to a place in their life where that will be how they make the money, to pay for the things they need to pay for. And that's such an elusive and improbable goal.
Right.
Did you have that dream or goal as an adolescent through into your 20s at school, after you're out of school?
I still do.
And you still do. So, yeah, I mean, it's... What's your experience with, you've known and worked with so many gifted people, there's no lack of talent. What's been your experience collaborating with others who've had this ambition to maybe leverage their experience as a, let's say, a stage actor, ultimately to the place where maybe they want to direct films, or maybe they want to create music and perform music, or whatever that goal might be as an original artist? What's been your... How has your perception about what that looks like been shaped by knowing other people who've gone through that process?
I think you know, one of the great side effects to being in this business and, you know, with constantly surrounded by like-minded people is you inevitably have from a lot of your coworkers and acquaintances. You'll get a fair amount of support for the projects that you do, mm-hmm. you know, sort of work away at. And, you know, so you know that if you're putting on a show, if you're developing a new work, you already kind of have a built-in, for lack of a better word, fan base, you know, who are at least going to, you know, they're at least going to come and support, they're going to come and support, like, the first, you know, the initial push, if you will. Or and so you know that you're not just kind of like advertising blindly and, you know, hoping that a couple friends from your office are going to show up and their parents or something.
And that can be exactly. That's a huge primer a lot of people don't have in terms of getting people interested in involved, or whether it's to come see the show or somehow be a part of the show, and also to be able to give constructive feedback and a lot of elements that you might take for granted if you don't have that community of colleagues.
You and in some respect probably all want the same thing anyway. Like, you know, I think in most regards, I think it should serve to inspire, you know, other artists, right?
You and I have both seen a lot of people who have benefited from that base of support to get something started and to play something out, maybe even for a few years. And that is a huge step in the direction of experimenting with your potential. What about moving from that to doing that for a living for 20, 30, 40, 50 years? I mean, have you met somebody like that? It's so elusive. That's the sort of next, there's all these different layers of inclusion in terms of entering that dream-like place. Have you encountered people who have pulled that off? And I guess, again, the definition is somebody who, the way they make money every year is that money comes, you know, is entered into their bank account on a year-by-year basis, one way or another, as the result of their artistic output, creative, original output. That's, I mean, because if that's the goal, and we talked earlier about how important it is to demystify a process and to see how it works, I mean, that's got to be essential, is to be aware of who are these elusive people.
We need to find this person and get them on your show. And
yes.
We'll like sit around in a panel and interrogate them.
That's right.
Try to extract every little sliver of knowledge, yes. and advice that we can.
You and I'll make a list of people who we would ideally want to interrogate, and then I will persistently and aggressively do whatever I need to do to contact their publicist, or tweet at them or something, cajole them into an interview, a quote-unquote interview. I'll pretend like it's very legitimate, it's a radio show, and I want to help them promote their latest thing. And then they'll be unsuspecting. I'll have you standing by on the line, and we'll just kind of corner them live on the air, and you and I will just turn it into a grill fest, an interrogation, like you say, where we're not letting you off the phone until we figure this out. And I don't know why they wouldn't just hang up, but we should probably find a Canadian, and it should be somebody who's known for being very polite.
That's right.
Right.
And they'd be very apologetic if they did.
Maybe that's what this podcast / radio show is for. You know, on the surface, I'm just, I'm casually interested. Now I've wrangled you into this somehow. Hopefully you can join me on this mission. Hopefully I can just get all the friends of mine that I've interviewed so far will just become a collective. It'll be like this.
Like the remote correspondent.
So if there's a moment in the future when you and I look back on this conversation and we just sort of look at each other and we just nod our heads in this with a knowing glance, what is it? Is it that you and I have put the band back together and we're playing at an amphitheater in some gorge somewhere and we're rocking out to an original tune? Or what is it?
I think that's absolutely it, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, okay, great. I'm excited about that. I was worried that I'd have to think about other lesser ways for me to enjoy that moment in the future. Because that's the moment. When I think about what would be the ultimate for you and I, it would be probably performing music and realizing that that's still possible, even though, you know, we're assumed different roles in life. I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah. I was just last night, I was researching the Rembrandts. So the guys who wrote and performed the Friends theme song, right?
That's right.
And I thought, I researched them because I thought, how intriguing. Like, that's one of the biggest TV shows of all time. Probably one of the, if not the most recognizable theme songs of all time for so.
And everybody thought it was the Gin Blossoms.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Well, how about this? How about that future moment that I'm imagining where you and I just kind of look at each other and we're like, you know what? We crossed that threshold. What if it's you and I forming a Gin Blossoms cover band?
Tribute.
Who, without explanation, only performs the Friends theme song. Just to sort of see who's confused in the audience, who expects it. And that will be the moment of like shared knowledge where we look at each other and be like, you know, mm-hmm. these people have no idea that the Gin Blossoms technically was not the band.
Exactly.
And that will be the moment of like, we've arrived. It'll be like 2037 and we'll look at each other and be like, oh yeah, back in 2016, I called you, we chatted on the phone, we talked on the podcast.
We're talking.
Now we're talking, and now we're really talking.
Keith, love your work.
Now we're really talking. Do you enjoy Keith's presence on the show?
I think Keith Kennedy is awesome. I very much enjoy his input to the show. The my partner and I were just listening to a fill-in show you did where Keith was taking frequent naps.
That's right. He did have a penchant for naps at around the time of the fill-in era of the show.
That's right.
Craig, thanks a lot for joining me.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
And that was this week's guest, Craig Way. Keith, what did you think at the end of the interview there? Craig was giving you some great feedback. Sounds like he's a big fan of yours.
Yeah, I thought about that. I responded very, very well to that, like an embarrassing amount.
And I had to cut it down. It was getting a bit out of control at one point in the interview. It just became the whole Keith show.
As a writer, I've gotten positive words about that before, mm-hmm. but it's been a really long time since someone was entertained by me being near them or hearing my voice. Even my wife probably wouldn't claim that was
true.
It's
cool. It's nice to know that there's people listening, even if it is our guests. And maybe that's the name of the game early on in the stage of the show, is that you need to be a friend of ours and a guest and an active listener in order to fit into the ecosystem of Now We're Talking. But it was cool to hear that he validated your presence, Keith.
Yeah.
As if there was any doubt.
Aw.
He validated it.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, man. I'm glad you're here because I don't know how to work those machines.
Yeah. And I don't know how to organize my thoughts or my words. Folks, if you're just tuning in, this is CITR 101.9 FM you're listening to. This show is called Now We're Talking. It's Jeff Bryan along with Keith Kennedy. And, you know, we talk. We talk to people. We talk to each other. Talking is what happens in the show. That was Craig Way. Hope you enjoyed the interview. Craig is a very gifted, talented musician, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation. We hope to form a duo called the Gin Blossoms, and we're exclusively going to play the theme song from Friends just to confuse people, because I think Craig was right. I think a lot of people were under the impression it was the Gin Blossoms who performed that song, but it wasn't.
No. Nope.
It was another band altogether.
Yep. Do you remember who it was?
It was the Rembrandts.
Yeah, they said it in the interview. Yeah,
I said it in the interview.
Oh, you said it in the interview. I was trying to bust you on not hearing, not listening to
well,
it.
Well, that would have been really embarrassing, but I do remember saying it as well as hearing myself say it.
I wouldn't have remembered that.
And but yeah, it was interesting. I researched those guys because I was curious. What's it like to, what would it be like to have, there's a lot of bands that are one-hit wonders, but that's just such a unique version of being a one-hit wonder because that show is so ubiquitous. It's on Netflix now. People love that show.
Remember the video?
Yeah, the video.
There was an actual video with the band in it.
Yeah, and it's cool that the whole song is actually solid. It would be a shame if the first verse, chorus, pass was great, but the rest sucked. But it actually, it has like a bridge section.
It holds up. All right. It suffers from the fact that we only know part of it.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a whole section that it seems like a surprise. Yeah. Like it's when you hear the Fresh Prince full version, you know, that song?
You're
you think you know all the words?
I don't know the full version as well as the TV
and
edit
version. You're screaming along, doing a great job. Yeah. And then, you feel like a dope because you don't know that part.
You feel like a dope.
Yep.
That was Craig Way. Craig, thanks for being on the show. And
I really like Craig. That was good. If you want to get in my good graces,
Andy's from the East Coast. He's a Maritimer. That's another thing you guys have in common.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Where did you say he's from?
He's from Miramichi.
Where's that?
Which is in New Brunswick.
Boo!
Almost 100% certain. I hesitate to say it because I'd be embarrassed if it was the wrong province, but I'm quite certain it is New Brunswick.
Yeah.
And you're from Newfoundland.
Yeah, I don't have anything against New Brunswick, by the way. I just was hoping that
just
maybe
felt
he was
like
from
saying boo off the mic.
Well, I just hope he was from Newfoundland because it's rare.
Yeah. It's close. Yeah. It's close.
Close enough.
I think they're adjacent.
It's close enough that people who've never been there think that it's close. Yeah. That's not me giving you a hard time. Wow, I just totally zinged you by mistake. I'm sorry.
I'll take it, man.
No, but it's that thing with people. We have a chip on our shoulders in Newfoundland.
Well, it's true. The first thing I did was couple. I said the same thing to him. I just said to you, hey, Keith, you're like the Maritimes. He's like, oh, okay. Like, I was clearly more excited about it than he was. But he is excited about you, and that's the point. And if you're a listener and you enjoy Keith, let us know. Send us an email at nwtpod@gmail.com. Is that the email address?
nwtpod@gmail.com, yeah.
nwtpod@gmail.com. We're on Twitter as well. nwtpodcast is the handle for Twitter.
At that. Yeah.
At nwtpodcast. Send us a tweet. Send us an email. Let us know if you're enjoying Keith, if you're enjoying the show. If you're not enjoying the show.
But if you're enjoying Jeff, keep it silent.
Keep it silent. I don't want to hear it.
We get too much of it.
I want some mystery.
He doesn't like it.
I want some mystery. And you can give us some ideas. Later in the show, we're going to do this week's edition of Ask Keith Anything. You can ask Keith a question. We do top five every week. You can give us suggestions for that, too. Let's dive into the top five, Keith. And this week, am I right? It's the top five things that Jeff likes almost as much as Keith?
I think the wording was...
We didn't feel the need to write it down.
Jeff possibly likes as much as Keith does.
Top five things Jeff possibly loves as much as
Keith
does.
Loves, yeah, yeah.
So in other words, top five things that Keith loves that Jeff maybe loves almost as much as Keith does.
We really backed ourselves into a grammatical nightmare with this one.
I'm just worried about typing this later for the show page.
Just the copy later.
And just questioning whether to capitalize every word. Don't you hate that where it's like the word or the...
I deal with that all the time.
With. And I feel like I want every letter or every word to be capitalized because it's the same, but technically shouldn't be.
The worst is when it's like a song. I do like lots of song lists on blog where like one of the words is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Like what was it the other day I was doing? I think it was like the Heart song, All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You.
Mm-hmm.
And like some of those words seem really, they're all little words, but some of them seem very important. But if you capitalize it all, it seems wrong, and yet that's the way to get uniformity. But I swear, that probably takes more time than creating content. It's questions of capitalization.
You're like, it's only two letters, but it feels key. Yes, capitalized.
Especially if you do one of one and one of the other.
Also two letters, not as important.
Yeah. It's a weird rule. I looked up the rule once, and it was very strange. It's not concrete on how to do that at all.
Yeah.
Well, there's probably some traditional like 1920s concrete rule.
I think I'm just going to capitalize. It'll be all caps, all uppercase.
All of it, yeah.
Top five things Keith loves that Jeff...
Top five things.
To a certain degree. Let's see if we can get this right. Top five things that Keith loves...
That Jeff may love as much.
Perfect.
That's not bad.
Let's do that. So let's start with number five. What's number five for the top five things Keith loves?
I got weird on the first one. Okay. Because I'm trying to throw you off. I like foods that are other foods. So if you make a sandwich that tastes like pizza, Keith's in.
Okay.
If you have like a pizza
combo.
Yeah. If you have a pizza that has hamburger toppings on it, You got Keith.
Right.
I love that stuff. I love combining all of the wonderfulness into one thing.
So food combined with another food, or basically food masquerading as another food.
Masquerading, that's a good word.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I guess the question is, to what degree do I love that thing?
Yeah, I'm looking at you like I'm daring you to disagree.
So let's give it a numerical value. For you, it's 100, because you love it.
Yeah.
So for me, how much of that 100? For me, I'm pretty indifferent about that.
Indifferent?
Well, I mean, if I get a pizza, I might put some chicken on it or something, you know, but...
Well, you love pizza.
I mean, to be fair, this isn't to say that you shouldn't love it or that I won't love it in time. It could just be that I haven't thought about it or given it a shot. So,
that's interesting. It would never have occurred to me because I love it so much that someone else hasn't experienced it.
So the truth is, having not really given it a shot, it is, for the moment, it's at 30%. It's very low.
All right.
But we'll have to check in on that later.
Maybe we
can do
better.
This is just where I'm at now, not necessarily where I'll always be.
I'm not going to feign that I'm excited about your answer. I'm a little disappointed, but we can talk about it off air.
So I've got 70% to go if I'm going to achieve parity with you as far as food that masquerades as other food. And number four, this is top five things that Keith loves that Jeff, to a certain degree, may in fact also love.
Yes.
Possibly.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, number four is Nancy, who's my wife, which we've established already in the show.
Right.
Also, I'd like to say before she calls right now, there's a reason that she's number four and not number one.
Sure.
It's just because I thought there's a good chance of all the things on here, unlike number five, which I thought you'd love, I guess.
Right.
I just figured that you wouldn't love her as much as I do. So I put it at number four.
Romantic love.
All kinds, baby.
All versions of
all
love.
The kinds of love that you can have, I have
and
for
maybe
my
the
wife.
Fact she's number four is because you couldn't wait to just say
to
her
write
name.
Her name. Yeah, yeah.
Write and say
good
her name.
Good one, buddy. You just saved me.
Right. Well, that's because I love Nancy,
I
too.
I probably shouldn't
equally.
Say it out loud. Equally.
I would say...
Big surprise, Nancy.
Let me see. How much do I love Nancy? Probably, I think like an appropriate answer would be like 70%.
Oh, that's
so
good.
So way, way more than chicken or hamburger or pizza. Mm-hmm. Way, like more than twice as much.
Yeah.
But still not nearly as much as you do. That's your wife. And so therefore 70% feels healthy.
Yeah. That
feels like a healthy
good.
Amount that you'd want a friend of yours to love your
yeah.
wife.
Yeah. Like you don't spend as much time with her, so how could you like her as much as you like me?
Yeah, we have a different relationship and it has some limitations on it. So I'd say 70%, and I'd say that's probably where it lives. I don't see that it has a lot
not gonna
of
change.
I don't think it's gonna go up like the hamburger on the pizza thing. I think it's pretty much that's where it is.
Also
feels like the healthy number.
Unlike the hamburger thing, I'm gonna try to feed you those foods to convince you. Right. Not so much gonna set up a romantic evening with my wife for you.
Yeah, or feed Nancy to me. Or that sounds horrible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like even just like feed attention in my direction or something.
Course. Of course,
or
you
feed
didn't
like feed comments
actually,
that Nancy had made that day or something. Moving on to number three, we're talking about top five things that Keith loves that to a certain degree Jeff may or may not also enjoy / like / love. Number three.
Okay, I don't know if I can get you to admit this that you agree with me on this one, but number three is being good at stuff.
Okay.
I disproportionately like being good at stuff to the point where a big fish in a small pond is my favorite situation. I want to just feel like I'm excelling. It makes life way easier. The challenges, I'll play video games on easy. Like the challenge of beating on difficult does nothing for me.
So just enjoying when it is the case that you're good at stuff, regardless of frequency, when it's happening, how you feel about
it. I just
it.
Like
you
doing
love it.
The thing that makes me the happiest often. And as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, then I like being good at stuff.
I'll say like 90%. I mean, maybe it should be 100. I'm maybe leaving a little room for doubt that we're exactly the same in this regard.
Sure, yeah.
But I would say 90%. Well, I mean, who doesn't? Who doesn't enjoy being good at stuff?
Yeah, but I think people don't admit it all that much.
Okay, well, it's 100. You got me. You got me. It's 100. I love being good at stuff.
Yeah, it's the best.
That's my number
Everyone
one.
Everyone should admit that. It's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person to enjoy your own accomplishments.
I have lots of experience not being good at stuff.
Yeah.
So when I am good at stuff, that's the modest way to express
I was just going
to
say.
It's so rare that when it does happen, I ensure that I enjoy it.
Yeah, and I situate myself to have that happen more often on purpose. It's not like I'm excelling left, right, and center here either.
Okay, so we've achieved parity on that one. 100%.
Yeah. 100%. Nice parity, buddy.
I also enjoy being good at stuff. Mm. Okay, good. So number two.
Being awake.
Which is funny, coming from Keith, the sleeper, the napper. You heard Craig referring to some of the hilarious naps he took
in a
previous
in those
show.
I don't like
being awake.
I don't know how you feel about this. I know a lot of people really value sleep, and I just don't ever want. I'm kind of like a kid, like Christmas morning, the night before Christmas, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go to bed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to stop what I'm doing, and I want to get up as soon as possible. I have a tendency to get, I'm not a morning person in the way that people picture that, but right. I do spring out of bed. Like I roll and move. I have momentum when I get out of bed. I'm glad that I'm not sleeping anymore.
The day has begun.
Yeah. And it's not, but I'm not like a, yeah, like super awake. I can still be groggy for 2 hours, but I like being awake.
How many hours do you sleep on average?
I sleep as 8.
Oh, you do? You do 8 hours?
Yeah, sometimes 9, because I do believe in the value of it.
See, a lot of people are going to hear that, Keith, and they're going to think, well, there you go. A lot of people might only get 6 or 7 hours sleep.
I'm a hypocrite,
if they're working harder than we are, you know? 8 or 9, I think that's above average.
Yeah, it's because I know the value of it, and yet I don't want to do it.
How do you love being awake enough that you'd reduce it to 5 hours a night?
The minute I get to a point in my life where I'm old enough that someone suggests, hey, maybe you're old enough now, you don't need as much, I'll start experimenting with that. As it is, I already do. Sometimes I get up in the middle of the night, or I'll get up after a certain amount of time, and I'll work, or I'll just do something, I'll walk. I'm already experimenting with being one of those people who doesn't sleep all that much.
Sure.
But as for now, I have to, otherwise I get sicky.
Well, let's revisit the extent to which you love being awake when you're only sleeping 5 or 6 hours a night.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because 8 or 9 that's is fair. Above average. For me, I would say being awake, it depends.
Really? Like on time of year?
I don't know.
Mood?
It does depend on the time of year, for sure.
I've heard that. There's a hibernation thing some people do.
Yeah, I'm going to say like 80% on this one. For the most part, I enjoy being awake, but there's times when I certainly enjoy sleeping, especially the hibernation factor in the winter. So I'm going to say being awake, 80%, I love it.
Okay.
Because I want to, it's almost like I want to leave some room to love being asleep.
Yeah, which you should.
Yeah.
You're just not doing it in a present way. When you're kind of cerebral about these things, I think, sometimes like you just don't want to cut that off.
But I do still love being awake more than I actively love your wife.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't
which
having...
Which is, again, an appropriate amount.
And this isn't having regard for your wife. This is loving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's lusting for.
No, I don't think it is.
No.
No. I mean, it could be, but we could talk about that again, too, off air.
Well, or I could just pull it back from 70. That would be way too high if it was that.
Don't pull it back a little bit, though.
And we're moving on to number one. This is the top 5 things that Keith loves that it may or may not be the case Jeff, in his own special way, also has regard for and loves.
Well, I set you up on this one, I think, because I think, I don't want to talk for you here, but what I wrote, and I don't want to use the word art too loosely, but it's making people happy with art.
Okay.
Or maybe with what you're passionate about. Nothing makes me happier. For example, Craig in the interview there.
That's true.
Saying that he enjoyed this made me feel amazing. My goal, my dream, is to have people come home from their hard jobs and want to escape by reading a book that I wrote.
Or even better, somebody coming home from the job they love.
Oh, I never even thought of that.
Wanting to listen to you, because if they love their job and they still want to, you know what I mean? If they hate their job, it's almost like they're very impressionable.
It is funny that I qualified it that way. Like, only people who are miserable should read my work.
Yeah, because it suggests they're really impressionable and they probably would take anything.
Like, they need me.
Yeah,
that's funny.
It
that
should
they
be people who are feeling fine. So they come home and they're like, you know, I feel really energetic. There's a lot of things I'd like to do, but I choose.
Wow.
To read.
That's almost too.
Keith Kennedy.
That's almost too much for me to process.
Yeah.
I think I can picture someone who's sad, who needs to get away from their life.
Yeah.
Liking what I do.
Maybe we can grow to that. And
yeah.
Let's
we'll
start
get there.
Let's lower the bar.
All
a bit
people
here.
Can read the book.
But we're going to focus on the miserable.
Yeah. So what do you, how do you feel about that? Making people happy
making
with what you
with
do?
Art. Yeah, it's art is a funny word, isn't it?
Yeah.
When we say art, I think about like finger paintings I've done, and it's really rare that those provide people with happiness.
Well, you're a bit of a forger when you do that.
It's true. I did go through a stint of forgery in the area of
other
finger painting.
5-year-olds.
But yeah, doing things that you enjoy that makes other people happy. Yeah, that's when that happens, it's good. I don't know when that's happened in recent memory.
Oh, it's happened a lot.
I'd like to, maybe in this moment it's happening. Somebody's saying, hey, he sounds very self-deprecating and unsure of himself. I relate to that.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's an artistic choice he's made. He's doing it through a medium, which is the radio. And I feel good about that, and that's making me happy. I don't know. I think. Well, you know, it's too soon to say, Keith. I can't think of a time when it's happened. Although perhaps it has. If we get a tweet or an email, I promise that will make me as happy as you say that you are.
Yeah.
When this happens for you. So, folks, if you want to help right now, I'd say arbitrarily 50%. Make it 100%. Send us an email. Don't make me. you know, throw this email address around like it's what? Like it's an analogy. An analogy. A bad one. Don't make me throw this around too often.
It sounds like we're fishing for compliments now. It's like, for everything we've done in the show, feel free to send us an email. But not just send us an email because we want to communicate.
Yeah.
Tell us we're awesome.
Send me an email. Send us an email address just so that I stop referencing the email address, which is nwtpod@gmail.com. And then we'll see if we can get it up to 100%. Keith, that's this week's edition of the top five. And this week was top five things that Keith loves, that Jeff, to a certain degree, also enjoys. Mm-hmm. And the what was the ratio we gave? Food that is other food. Food masquerading as other food, I believe.
30?
I said 30%. Yeah. Nancy, we said 70%.
Yeah.
Being good at stuff, I think, what did we say? 90%?
Yeah.
Being awake, we said
80%.
And making people happy with art, I said 50.
Yeah.
That's hopefully a temporary measure.
Makes me feel like I failed a little bit in the ordering of my list.
Not necessarily.
But
I think it should be your list, and then we see how I'm compatible with that list.
Well.
But that's got room for improvement if you send us an email.
Yeah.
Or tweet us.
Unless you're my wife. Don't.
Yeah. If that's the case, don't do it.
Don't be mad.
So what I'd like to do right now is just conjure up the image of a calm lake at sunset with the sound of relaxing crickets, and just let that wash over us. See how it makes us feel.
Is there thunder? What is that?
Could be. It's the suggestion of thunder.
Oh.
What you're hearing is not thunder.
Oh, no, okay.
But it's the suggestion of thunder. Oh, it's wind.
Is it wind?
It's wind.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Because we have headphones on, I wasn't sure if it was internal or external.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in, folks, this is a live feed of a calm lake at sunset with sounds of relaxing crickets somewhere in BC.
That's a live feed?
It's a live feed.
Well, did that just make it way more interesting? I didn't know that. From where I'm sitting, I couldn't tell you that you had done that. Actually made it really interesting.
It may or may not be true.
Okay.
But if it is true, of course that's interesting.
It's a live feed of a gullible man.
And that, that's right. If you're just tuning in and you wonder what a gullible man might sound like.
Yeah, that's me.
That's pretty much
it. Wow, is this real?
It could be, though. I'm not saying it isn't.
No, and I think it is.
I'm just illustrating the fact that it may or may not be.
The fact that the wind sounds like it does makes me think it probably is real. Like there's a microphone out by a lake somewhere.
And that's it. You can hear the microphone, and that's because it's...
Right, the wind's picking
it's
up.
It's a live feed, and it's picking up some live wind. This is live wind on the air.
That's a thing that people do, hey? They watch live feeds of, like, birds' nests, and I remember the one was... Remember when the ash in... Oh, I can't remember the name of the mountain. In Washington, when that...
Mount St. Helens.
Was that what it was? That it just had the big ash cloud?
Yeah.
People were watching live, like, tuning into this cam... To watch a 24-7 to see if it was going to really go up.
You mean when this happened back in the early 80s? You're talking about that event?
No, there was one. There was like a cloud. What's the word?
A plume.
Plume of ash, yes. That happened like maybe 10 years ago?
And you're saying it was an internet feed?
Yeah, there was an internet feed of someone had set up just showing it in dead center. Mm. And so you could watch because people were afraid of what was going to happen next, I guess.
Mm.
And I've, like as I mentioned, I've seen ones with birds and wildlife. And that's like a thing. People spend time. I think my wife's mom does it a little bit. She has like a certain zoo has a feed, and she'll watch like the birds, and they get kind of attached. It's like a pet.
It's a safer way to watch nature.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Being on the mountainside, not so safe.
Yeah.
But I think that's cool.
I'm sure. Oh, the more that people have their portable devices and the internet, and there'll be more and more live feeds.
Something we would never have imagined, right? Like 20 years ago?
Yeah.
The idea of watching a live feed.
We could be periscoping our time here in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, that's something we could be doing. We could be setting up one of our phones, and we could be simulcasting this radio broadcast.
I now know what that means.
Yeah, simul.
I didn't know that before.
It's just simul with the word cast.
Mm-hmm. You think I would have come up with that?
Folks, it's Jeff Bryant hosting Now We're Talking this week with Keith Kennedy, as always. Today on the show, we had Craig Way. Craig is a musician. He's a theater practitioner, which is to say he's an actor. I want to specify it's on stage as opposed to in film or TV. He was on the show. If you want to listen to our show after the fact, and why wouldn't you? You can see how much fun we're having here. We're listening to a calm lake at sunset with the sound of relaxing crickets just talking. If you want to listen to this week's episode or a previous week's episode, I've mentioned Craig if you're intrigued but you missed out on that. You can find the show on iTunes now. Did you know that, Keith?
I did. I just learned it.
That's a development. We started the show about a month ago. Yep. It airs every Sunday from 6 to 7 here on CITR. And the show, like all shows on CITR, is made available after the fact on the website, citr.ca. That's a way you can listen to episodes of shows that air on CITR. But also, now we're on iTunes. You can listen to the show as a self-contained podcast episode. You just need to type in, "Now we're talking." Yep. We're, with an apostrophe, yeah, as in we are, talking, not talk-in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Google this, if you iTunes this, if you search it in iTunes, I guess if you Google it too, it'll probably show
up. Yeah, that's true.
But if you search it under podcasts in iTunes, you'll see there's other shows called Now We're Talking. Now, I'm hoping that these other two shows, they've been around for a couple months, Keith.
Yeah.
And I hope they don't feel like we've stepped on their heels. This is a show that we've had in the works for a while, and we've only just now begun to have it.
Mm-hmm. I like how you adjusted that analogy to step on heels and not toes, because
yes,
they were ahead of us in this race.
That was considerate.
Race.
Inadvertently considerate.
Yeah.
Anyway, here I am trying to plug the show, and I'm mentioning other shows with the same name. I'm just saying, we're there. They're there.
Yeah.
Everybody's there. Ideally, we would just merge the three shows into one, and we'd all talk.
We could all talk at the same time.
We'd all talk.
Yeah. And you could simulcast it.
You could simulscope it.
Yeah.
Anyway, our show's up there, CITR-Now We're Talking. This is episode 5. In previous episodes, we've spoken to Jennifer Bradley, voiceover actress, Jonathan Seibel, technology enthusiast, Adam Schell, photographer, recently released a book called So Does Vancouver, and local Vancouver musician, Martin Acosta. Keith, are you enjoying this calm lake sound?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not that it's live, but something about the fact that that's our live feed from somewhere is making me listen harder than if it was just something from YouTube.
No, it's got to be real. It must be real, right? Why wouldn't it be real?
Seriously, like, it made me think, what am I going to hear, man?
Anything's possible, right? When you're listening to nature, it could just be some guy like, what is this?
Yeah.
A microphone?
Is that a bloody microphone in my woods?
How did this microphone get in my woods?
My guy didn't know any words.
He didn't know the word microphone.
He was just an accent and no words.
Somebody get rid of this microphone here. Folks, it's that time.
It's time for Ask Keith Anything. That's right, folks. You can fax it in. You can mail it in. You can give us a call. You could even send over a mule. As long as there's a question for Keith to answer, that's pretty much the deal. Go ahead and ask Keith anything, and he'll answer it to the best of his ability. It could be hilarious. It could be forlorn. Too soon to say. But here we go. This week's edition of Ask Keith Anything.
That's right, folks. It's this week's edition of Ask Keith Anything. If you listen to the show, you know that every week we have a listener send us an email and ask a question. And this week, it's Thomas from Kelowna. And he asks the following question of Keith. Keith, I'm considering getting a dog. I'm having mixed feelings. They seem like a lot of work. Should I get a dog?
Oh, good question. This is something that my wife and I have talked about quite a bit. I think Nancy might be the theme of this show this week. I keep saying her name. I think that it's a lot of responsibility. We've always thought of it as a training ground for children to see if we can keep a thing alive. And even that seems like so much responsibility. People often talk about when they have children that it changes their perspective and they feel like that the world is not about them anymore, that their life is for this other creature. And I don't want to sound callous, but having not had a pet as an adult or a child, I have trouble seeing that as a thing that could happen. Maybe it's because I'm very self-centered or narcissistic myself, but my life is about me. I want it to be about me. And so even the dog, I feel a little bit like, would, you know, I'd have to do stuff for it and walk it and feed it. So I think if you have a lot of love in your heart and you, when you see a dog, it lights you up, that's a lot of it. But I feel like that too. I think you have to be very serious when you get a dog. What kind of dog? If you have the right environment for it, how much it needs to be walked, what it needs to be fed. Just do your research and then everyone will be happy.
Short answer?
Yeah, get a dog. There's lots of dogs that need homes and lots of places where you can get them that aren't puppy mills, which is like a real bad thing that happens. So yeah, go to your local place, get a dog.
Get a dog, get the right dog.
Yeah, love it up. Love it.
Love it up. Love it. There you go. Keith, you want to ask him a question? You know, maybe you don't know the answer to your question. Maybe you've asked your friends, your colleagues. Nobody knows. Keith might know.
Keith knows.
Oh, he does know. Yeah. There you go.
I'll go that far.
I was thinking he might know. He definitely knows. Just ask him. Find out. Find out what's going on. Keith, we've got a few more minutes in the show here. I know you had an experience recently. You wanted to mention you were grocery shopping, and you're in that classic situation where you have you go to the line that says, what was it, 20 items or less? Sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 15.
Yeah, I think
nine.
At the local store it's 12, but I feel
like that's part of the confusion. It's never the same number.
I'm pretty sure it was 20 in this case.
So we'll say it's 20. Not.
Yeah.
And you went into line,
mm-hmm.
and you had 20 items, but you almost got yourself in a little bit of trouble there. What happened?
Yeah, well, it's. I think everyone has met a curmudgeon in their lives, and I can be one myself, but in this particular circumstance, I just wasn't even thinking. I just went to the nearest checkout. I don't even know if I knew it was the fast one. What do they call them? The
Express.
Express, yeah.
So you went into line not necessarily being aware of how many items you had, whether it was over or under.
I just got some stuff.
You thought nothing of it. And what happened?
Yeah, so this guy came up behind me. He was an older gentleman. And he said, he didn't mumble it. He didn't yell it. But he definitely said clearly, I'm always the one who gets caught behind people who are abusing the rules.
As an aside, or was he saying it to you?
He definitely didn't look at me, but he said it loud enough. There was no doubt that he was making sure I heard it.
It was an attempt at a public shaming.
Yeah, and he expected that to go unnoticed. And so I...
So how many items were you over the limit?
Yeah, well, that's what happened, man. Like, I didn't rise to the bait because I won't normally. That's ridiculous behavior.
You're not a fish.
Yeah, why would I be a fish?
Yeah, you're not.
And so I counted my items because I was sitting there. I had to wait a minute. So.
Out of your own curiosity?
Yeah.
Or was it like, you're like, here, let me count
them
for
you? No, there was nothing.
Wait a minute, let me see.
I'd already let it go and I was just counting.
So you went through one by one, you actually counted them?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't move them. I just like looked at them.
And what was your count?
And I had exactly 20.
Exactly 20.
And that turned me into a different human being.
You were in the right.
No, I was in the right. So I turned to the guy and I said, I have exactly 20. And then he, I guess, because he hadn't counted them either, realized that that was a real possibility. And so he tried to backtrack by claiming that I wasn't counting the bananas separately.
Wait a minute. Were they in a bunch?
Yes,
or were they? So he was claiming
there was like six bananas
that
in
technically
a bunch.
You should count each banana?
Yeah.
That's pretty weak.
Yeah. And so at that point, I became, I don't know, like not vengeful, I suppose. I was so righteous that I said...
he tried to shame you.
Yeah.
Why not shame
him?
Well,
I mean, it's not my finest hour, but I said, you have to go ahead of me. And he, at that point, was realizing he was...
passive-aggressive gesture, kind gesture, which on the surface is, go ahead and go in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm being polite, but really the backhand thing here is,
now I was shaming him. So yeah, and he said no, he shied away, and I should have just let it go, but I wouldn't.
I forced him
to go ahead of me. I told him I wasn't. I just stepped back.
With a grand dramatic gesture.
Yeah, I stepped back and folded my arms and made him go. And there wasn't too many people there, so it wasn't like he was that shamed.
Was he able to step up quickly, pay for his items, and leave? Or was he stuck in this sort of purgatory waiting for his turn in line?
No, it was...
Because that would be awkward.
No,
he was behind you, now he's in front of you.
I think he was next, so it didn't have too bad. I hope it didn't harm him too badly, but you know, maybe... count the items before you give someone crap at the grocery line.
Otherwise, you run that risk. I think that if you're going to potentially shame somebody at the checkout at a grocery store.
Yeah, especially if they're based on the rules.
You run that risk.
Yeah, there's rules.
Oh, what's that?
Oh.
Sound of the campfire. Folks, it's that time of the show, wrapping up the show, where Keith and I sit by the virtual campfire, and we talk about what did we learn this week. Here on Now We're Talking with Jeff and Keith. What did we learn? Keith, we talked about a few things. What happened this show?
Well, we talked about the fact that I went to the zoo.
You went to the zoo.
Which was great. My wife wanted to go for a long time. I'm really glad that I got to be there with her and watch her enjoy the heck out of it.
She loved it. There was some crying. She was disappointed temporarily.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it was joyous, joyful crying. And while you were at the zoo, you got a firsthand look at this Pokemon Go craze that's happening.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
And that was instructive. It is a real thing. We also had the chance to talk to Craig Way this week. I talked to him, talked about his career in theater and some of his ambitions with original music. Craig will be back on the show. He's a friend. We discovered he's from Miramichi because I told you that.
He said he likes me, so he'll definitely be back
on the show.
We discovered that
you have a major fan in Craig Way. That was cool. We talked about the top five things that you definitely love and that I potentially love to perhaps an equal degree or slightly lesser, but we will calculate that.
I feel like we
that.
Should do it the other way sometime in the future.
We could switch it around.
Yeah, that might be fun.
And what else? We asked you about dogs. You should get a dog.
Yeah, get a dog.
If you're in doubt, get a dog. Yeah. And was there anything else?
No, we talked. Oh, the grocery store.
The grocery store. And tell me specifically what we learned with the grocery store.
Yeah, unless someone's going to get hurt, you can just let it go. People are going to have bad days. You know, just I could have let that guy go. It would have been fine. I could have just let it go.
And also, if you're the other guy, don't shame Keith if you think he has more than 20 items.
What did I do?
Because he might actually have 20 items. That's it, folks. That's Now We're Talking for this week. We'll catch you next time.